Nope. There we go. Thank you. The top part of that is missing. And I guess it's because I need to... Latrice, I didn't do that yet. She gave me a tip on some of these where I'm using a different version, I think. But the top part of that says, Christ teaches us to apply Scripture. Okay? It should be right across the top. Right above Scripture. Christ teaches us to apply Scripture. We're going to have three lessons on this. And the reason we're going to have three lessons on this is because it's absolutely necessary for us to understand how to apply God's Word. He gave it to us. And it's absolutely necessary for us to apply, to know how to apply His Word. Now, what you've heard all your life, because it's the same thing I heard all my life, until I got out and I started thinking about it, and somebody said, well, there's three ways to apply Scripture. There's three ways. What you have first is you have a direct command. And then secondly, you have an apostolic or an approved example. And then thirdly, you have a necessary inference. And you know how you know, we know that? It's because somebody that was really smart in the 19th century told us how that ought to work. I'm going to tell you something. The first part of what I said about the direct command and the approved example and the necessary inference, that is true. That is how we apply Scripture. But there was not somebody in the 19th century... It was not somebody in the 19th century that showed us how that works. I submit to you exactly what Brother Spencer just read to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, I'm going to show you from the Scriptures in the next three lessons that Christ showed us how to apply Scripture. And that if I am to obey the direct command in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, that I better use Christ's example and Christ's teaching on how to apply the Scripture. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, sanctify or set apart the Lord God in your heart or mind. Right? Being ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is within you, yet with meekness and fear. I can't apply that scripture either if I don't understand these foundational principles. So, there's a lot of people that say, well, why are we going to drag up that old tired subject of authority? No one does that anymore. I'm going to tell you something. There'd be a lot more Christians if we did that anymore. Because that is the basis. When it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, what Brother Spencer's version said, but set apart Christ as Lord. When I say He's my Lord, I'm going to do the things He says. And I'm going to do them the way He says. Because everything that relates to me and to you, brothers and sisters and friends, came from Him. He has the authority to make the rules. He has the authority to set the standards. He has the authority and has been given the authority and takes the authority and will not give up the authority to save me. So if I want to be saved, if I want to escape what's deserved by me, if I want a part of the Lord's grace that He has given me to have, I'll know these things. That's just the truth of the matter. So, let's get started. When we say that Christ Himself teaches us to respect and establish scriptural authority, it wasn't some smart man. Wasn't even a man. It was a man that came from God that was both God and man. And He called Himself the Word. That's what He did. Jesus Christ is now and has always been the Word. Okay? Now, First Peter chapter 1, verse 24, and I should say 25, says that all flesh, and it quotes Isaiah chapter 40. All flesh is as grass, and the flower of grass, and it withereth and faileth, and it goes away, it blows away. But the Word of God abides forever. Okay? So if I want to put my faith on something, let me put my faith on the foundation that God's Word abides forever. Because that's the only thing I know of that He's given me, that will everything else I see, including me, is doomed for destruction. All right, so Jesus Christ is now and has always been the Word. That's what He says in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Turn with me there. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Very simple. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. The Word, that word, has a capital W there. Why? Because it says over in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So I know that Christ is the Word. That's how I know. All authority resides in Him. He told the apostles in Matthew chapter 28, as it's recorded there, He told them after He had been arisen from the dead, He said, all authority hath been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the world. Christ has all authority. In Ephesians chapter 1, we talked about this in our class this morning. If you'll turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 1, it says in verse 22, and He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. There is no Christ outside His church, is what that says. And the church is His body. He's the fullness that filleth all in all. He has the authority. So, all that we teach or practice must be in His name. That's what He said to the apostles in Matthew 28:18. All authority hath been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's by my authority. But He says here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, that whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's by His authority. In Matthew 7, we got to be careful, and that should have a semicolon. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, or colon there. Matthew 7 says if we're not doing it by Christ's authority, then He's going to reject it. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by Thy name? And by Thy name cast out demons, and by Thy name do many wonderful works. He said before that, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Then he goes on to say, they'll say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by Thy name? And by Thy name cast out demons, and by Thy name do many mighty miracles and wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work lawlessness or iniquity. Now, you say, well, Bill, aren't those things good, prophesying? Casting out demons and miracles, aren't those good things? I'm going to say, yeah, they're good things. But they were for somebody else to do and not for me. That's why the Lord said, if I claim to be doing them in His name, and then I'm rejecting the things that He said to do, He's going to reject me. That's what He's going to do. So all that we teach or practice must be in the name, in His name, or under His authority. Well, where does that reside today? I don't see Christ walking around. Well, turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Galatians, he told them this very thing. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. For I make known unto you, brethren, as touching the gospel which was preached by me, that it was not after man. In other words, man didn't think that up. I didn't get it from man, Paul says. Look at verse 12. For neither did I receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came to me through revelation of Jesus Christ. It came to me, he said, through revelation of Jesus Christ. I didn't get it from man. Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul goes on to write to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. For of which cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, in behalf of you Gentiles, if so be that ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given me to you ward, how that by revelation was made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, whereby, when ye read, ye can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, or generations, he says, it was not made known unto the sons of men, as it now hath been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets, by the Spirit, to wit, the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace which was given me according to the working of His power. Now, Paul goes on to write when he's writing to the Roman church in Romans 10:17. He says, faith then, my faith, how do I get it? It comes by me hearing the word of God. That's what produces faith in me. So let's follow this. Christ said, I'm the word. Christ said, all authority is in me. Christ said, my word will judge you in the last day. And you will find my word in the scriptures given by the holy apostles and prophets through the Spirit which I've given them. Now, isn't it incumbent on us to understand how that works? And I'm going to tell you something. We don't have to be some smart man in the 19th century. Because God made it simple for me and for you to know. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm looking at the clock and it's 25 minutes after 11. And you know what I'm not going to get to today? We're going to make four lessons out of this. Okay? Because this was just the introductory part. But we're going to make four lessons out of it, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because it's that important. And we're not going to take it from the idea. Here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to show you just the next three slides. Oh, conclusion. I didn't even get to the conclusion here yet. What's the conclusion say? The conclusion says, then it is through a study of the Scriptures that we can understand how to establish and make application of Christ's authority in our teaching and practices. And I put 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I need to study God's word. And then 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, which Brother Spencer read, how else do I do that? I set Christ apart in my mind as Lord, and I'm ready to give an answer for the things that I believe in. To every man that asketh a reason for the hope that is within me, yet with meekness and with fear. I need to be learning, I need to have my mind open, and I need to have my mind open to God's Word. I'm going to tell you something. I'm 55 years old, and I'm dumber every day. There was stuff that I knew like it was, I would have put a stake in it in 25, and those things just aren't so. There's some things I knew at 25 that I unknow now. That's because I need to have a different attitude about God's Word. I'm not the know-it-all. None of us are. And we can learn with God. Every day we can learn something new about what the Lord has for us in His Word. Now, let me show you what we're going to talk about the next time we're together. We're going to see right from the Lord's words Himself examples of how to apply the Scriptures. Not from somebody else. We're not going to dig up somebody that's wrote a lot of books. We're going to dig up one who directed the writing of one, who calls himself the Word. Okay? That's how we're going to do that. So the next time we're going to talk about direct command, and we're going to look at these verses. And these two. The temptation of Satan. And not only that, but the rich young ruler. We're going to talk about him. And that's how Christ shows us how to apply Scripture. Now, the Scripture that Christ applied when Christ was on this earth was which? Was it the new law? Was it the one I've been pounding up here all morning? It wasn't, was it? The Scripture that Christ applied when He was on earth was the Old Testament Scripture. And we're going to show you exactly. But you know what? He said He's the Word. So is He the Word of the Old Testament too? You look just like this. Yes, He is. He is the Word of the Old Testament too. Now, why am I telling you that? Well, I'm telling you that because He shows us example by applying the Old Testament Scriptures to those people who lived in under the Old Testament dispensation about how we should apply His Word in the New Testament. Okay? All right. So let's conclude this lesson with if you're not a Christian, first thing you need to think about is where you're going to spend your soul. Where are you going to spend your soul eternity? Because everything you see around you is doomed, as we said, for destruction. So what are you going to do about it? You're going to be destroyed with the rest of this world? Are you going to do what God and only God can do for you and I and give us a hope of eternal life? What a wonderful thing. You know, man has within him the love of life. He's born with that. That's one way that we are created in God's image. You know why? Because we are eternal beings. And I want to be with God. I want to be with God. He has so much that I can't even fathom in my feeble mind for me to enjoy when I'm with Him forever. So, there are things that you need to do. If you haven't become part of Jesus Christ's body, you need to do that. And He tells us that you need to hear His word and believe it. He that believeth on me shall not perish, but have everlasting life, He said in John chapter 3 and verse 16. Right? Repent. When those men and brethren of Paul asked all the apostles on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do? Paul said, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says, For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, verse 8, but with the mouth, verse 9, confession is made unto salvation. So we need to confess Him as Lord. He says in Matthew chapter 10, 21 and 22, He that denies me on earth will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. But he that confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. And then we need to be baptized. And then, just like the eunuch did when Philip approached him, he said, do you understand what you're reading from Isaiah there? And he said, no, unless the man guide me. And so he started right from the scripture, Philip did, and he began to preach unto him the Christ. And they later on came to a body of water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, you can if you believe. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it said that him and the eunuch both went down into the water. And he baptized him. And he brought him up out of the water. And he rejoiced and he went on his way singing God's praise to everybody that listened. That's what I get from those scriptures. Will you do that this morning? Will you make Christ your Savior? If you would, we stand ready to assist you. Would you come now as together we stand and sing?
Question comes to you, and you must give an answer, for something you must do.